We're holding on Vav Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We're still in the middle of discussing the matter of Esa Dercha Lo Sese, and we're still in particular in the middle of trying to figure out if we have a source that an Esa should be Dercha Lo Sese that involves Kares, which at the beginning of the Sugya, on Gimel Amud Beis, we brought Xeda Shava to say that in the case of Yibum, it doesn't, and therefore if the woman if the Yavama is also a different Issur Kares, for example, she's his wife's sister, or any of the other 14 that I mentioned, in any of the other 15 that I mentioned in the Mishnah, that Yibum shouldn't apply. We had a Gzeda Shava for that. So the question was, all this time, why we need the Gzeda Shava? Why wouldn't we say that automatically it's not Dochet anyway? So we're in the middle of trying to figure out how we know whether we have a source to say that an Esser should be Dochet Lois Esser that involves Kares. So the last thing we brought in that connection was that you have a mitzvah saseh to exit, that Beistin has a mitzvah saseh to execute somebody who's chayiv misa, or to be exact, as the Rambam puts it, it's four different mitzvah saseh, one for each misa. There's on the other hand a lois saseh not to break Shabbos, which is an issur kares. So you would have thought, that maybe you should execute somebody on Shabbos, and therefore the pasuk says lo yisavaru esh b'chol mishvei seichem, which we explain means that you're not allowed to execute somebody in Beis Din either. So on the face of it, the fact that we needed a pasuk for that would show that normally it would be doche. However, Omer of Shimi Ba'ashi, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi says not necessarily are we saying that it's a matter of Esa Dercha Lo Sese. In general, maybe in this particular case, we would have had reason to say that it does on the grounds of a Kal V'Chomer. And therefore, the Torah needs to come and tell us that that's not a valid Kal V'Chomer. Namely, Hai Tana Loi Mishum De'osi Esa V'Docha Lo Sese. Not necessarily is the Tana saying that because an Esa should be Dercha Lo Sese, even a Lo Sese that involves Kores, and therefore we need the pasuk to tell us otherwise. Elamishum de maisi b'kavachomer. Rather, the reason might be because otherwise we would have learned a kavachomer to say in this particular case that executing somebody is dercha Shabbos. V'hochi kama. So the argument would go as follows. We started by saying that there's a mitzvah to execute somebody on Shabbos. Now, mani makayim machalel mos yumas. Now, what we do, the Braisa says, the fact is, we know a pasuk says that if a person violates Shabbos, they're put to death. So you're not allowed to do any malacha on Shabbos, and that would include the malachas that are involved in executing somebody. As we said yesterday, for example, when we're talking about the malacha of Srefa, it involves lighting a fire. Good morning, Aaron. It involves lighting a fire, and it involves melting metal, which is a form of bishul. And we talked about, of course, also there's killing the person, which is Netilas Neshama. Anyway, so we would have said, says Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, the argument is going like this. Again, not that we would think that it is Docha Elav Sheyesh Be'Kores, but rather that maybe in this particular case, because of a Kal V'Chomer word. So we would say, Mechalalei Mos Yumos, V'Sh'ar Malachas Chutz Mimisas Beis Din. When it comes to other Malachas, except for Mimisas Beis Din, then we would say that you don't do them on Shabbos. Avol Mitzvahs based in Dach Yeshabbos, Mi Kal V'Chomer. But we would argue and say that when we have a specific Kal V'Chomer that tells us that executing somebody should be Dach Yeshabbos, and the Kal V'Chomer, and therefore ultimately we need the pasuk to tell us otherwise, and the Kal V'Chomer would go as follows. In this Kal V'Chomer, we're going to be focusing on two different things and their relation to Shabbos. Two things that are related to the avoda. The avoda itself, we know the avoda takes place on Shabbos, even though there are multiple malachas involved. We have, on the other hand, the Torah tells us that there is something that overrides even the avoda, namely the pasuk says, as we're going to quote in the Gemara, "Me'im mizbechi tekochenu lomus." If you have a kohen killed somebody, so even if you have a kohen killed somebody, and he is going to do the avodah, so unless he's actually in the middle of the avodah, we will prevent him from doing the avodah and take him to Beis Din and try him and if necessary execute him. So that's called ritzicha. So umma avoida shehi chamura, madoch the avoida, which is a very strong thing, the doicha Shabbos, so much more so that the avoida overrides Shabbos. You do the avoida in the Beis Mikdash, even though that involves various malachas. Ritzicha doicha osa, nevertheless, ritzicha is even stronger than that, that if the Kohen was a ritzeach and he's about to do the avoida, and Tosfos points out it means even, let's say, there's no other available Kohen to do that avoida, so if you take him away from there, then that avoida is going to remain undone. Nevertheless, that overrides the avoida. Because the Pasuk says you take him away from near the Mizbeach to be executed. So it means, in other words, Rashi brings from a Gemara elsewhere that if the Kohen is actually in the middle of doing the Avoda, if he's not Me'im Mizbechi, if he's not near the Mizbeach, but rather on the Mizbeach doing the Avoda, then fine, we let him finish his Avoda, and then we take him away. But if he hadn't yet started the Avoda, then we're going to take him away, even if, as Tosfos says, that means the Avoda is not going to get done at all. Tosfos also points out, by the way, now, the fact is, if a Kohen killed somebody, we know he's not allowed to duchen. So on the face of it, doesn't that mean he's not allowed to do the avoda either? Tosfos says no. The fact that he doesn't duchen, that a Kohen who killed somebody doesn't duchen, is a chumra ba'alma, Tosfos says. And in particular, because duchening involves being a sanegur, involves being a defender of the Jewish people and bringing down Hashem's brachas to them, and ain't kategor nasa sanegur. But other than that, do the avoda is something else entirely. So a Kohen who had killed somebody is allowed to do the avoda, but if he hasn't started the avoda yet, and it's time to take him to Beis Din for his trial, then we're going to take him, then we're going to take him regardless, even though he's about to do the avoda. The Meiri, by the way, has a different understanding of it. He says we're also talking about, we don't even have to be talking about executing this Kohen. Suppose that Beis Din is in the middle of trying somebody for any kind of mitzvah Beis Din, and the Kohen has eidos one way or the other about it. We will take the Kohen, we'll tell the Kohen, you have to leave the avoda that you were about to do and come to Beis Din to testify. So that's another meaning of Ritzicha Deichois. Anyway. So, the Kal v'chomer continues, Shabbos shenidches mipnei avoda, so then, Shabbos, we say, is weaker than the avoda, namely, because the avoda takes place on Shabbos, ein din shetei ritzicha doicha oisa. Shouldn't it be a Kal v'chomer that ritzicha, that executing somebody on Shabbos, overrides Shabbos? So that would be, so when we thought, to begin with, before the Pasuk tells us, lo sivaru esh, when we thought that you execute somebody on Shabbos, not because Esa Doicha Lois Esa Shiyesh Bekoris, but because of this Kavachomer. Umay Oy Eina Dekomer. So then, why does the Braisa in the middle switch and say, but maybe not, maybe Mechalalel Mois Yumos includes everything, including Mrs. Bastin? What would be the Svarat to say that way? The answer would be that we can make the Kavachomer in a different way. Or we can slug up the Kavachomer. Hoder Omar. I'm sorry, Hochika Omer, what the Braisa means to say is, we can slug up that Kavachomer because Kvuras Mes Mitzvah Techiach. You can slug up that Kavachomer by referring to the case of burying a Mes Mitzvah. If you find a Mes Mitzvah, you have a Mitzvah to bury him, and even a Kohen who normally doesn't become Tomei for somebody who is not his relative has to do that, even a Kohen Gadol. And so therefore, Kvuras Mes Mitzvah Techiach should doicha es ha'avoida ve'en doicha es ha'shabbos. Because after all, burying a Mes Mitzvah overrides the avoida. If you have a Kohen who finds a Mes Mitzvah, then he goes and buries him, even though it means that he's going to be Tomei and not able to do the avoida. And again, we can be talking about in the scenario, suppose there's no other Kohen to do the avoida, and therefore the result of that is going to be that the avoida is going to end up not getting done at all. Rashi, in fact, refers to a Gemara in Megillah that we had a couple of months ago where we learn that concept. We learn that the Mes Mitzvah is Doicha Avoda from a Pasuk that says Vala Achosai, or Ula Achosai, actually. There's a Pasuk regarding a Nazir that says that he doesn't become Tomei for his father, his mother, his sister, or his brother. And the Gemara darshins each of those words as teaching us a different din, because we already know a Nazir can't become Tomei Mes for his family. It says so earlier in the Pasuk. Therefore, each one of them comes to teach us a specific din, and one of them is that even a Kohen who's about to go and do the Avoda, if he finds a Mes Mitzvah, then he buries him. So therefore, so we shlug up a Kavachomer. mes mitzvah is stronger than avodah. She doiches avodah. It pushes off the avodah. The in doiches a Shabbos. Yet burying a mes mitzvah is not doiches Shabbos. You find a mes mitzvah on Shabbos. You don't bury him on Shabbos. You wait till after Shabbos. So therefore, so you see that not always is everything that's stronger than avodah stronger than Shabbos. So just because ritzicha, just because executing the guy in Beis Din is stronger than avodah, that we take a kohen gadol away from where he's about to do the avodah to execute him, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's doicha Shabbos, just like mes mitzvah is. Hader Omar, but then the braisa continues. On the other hand, maybe that premise is wrong. Kvoras mes mitzvah titcha Shabbos mekavah chomer. Maybe indeed burying a mes mitzvah should override Shabbos on the basis of the original kavah chomer. Uma avodah shei doicha Shabbos kvoras mes mitzvah doicha osa. The avodah is stronger than Shabbos; it pushes it off. And mes mitzvah is stronger than avodah. Mi ula achosoi, and we know that from the word ula achosoi in the pasuk from which we darshin that even a kohen who's on his way to do the avodah buries a mes mitzvah. Shabbos shenitches b'pnei avodah. So then Shabbos is pushed off in favor of the avodah because the avodah takes place on Shabbos. Ein adin shetei kvoras mes mitzvah doicha osa. How much more so that burying a mes mitzvah should override Shabbos. So in other words, you wanted to slog up the kavah chomer on the basis of the mes mitzvah. But maybe your premise is wrong. Maybe in fact you do bury a mes mitzvah even on Shabbos. So now, then that would restore our kavah chomer. Therefore, finishes off the braisa, Tamad Loma, Lo Sivaru. Therefore, the pasuk is telling us that you don't execute somebody on Shabbos. Because otherwise, we would have thought to learn it from the kavah chomer. So that being the case, if we learn it that way, then we don't say that in general, when there's kores, we would have said, here, there's a particular kavah chomer to tell us, and therefore the pasuk has to tell us that otherwise. That wouldn't show in other cases, for example, Yibum, that Esther should be doicha lois Esther sheyesh bekoris, such that we should need a pasuk to tell us otherwise. Well, that's what we're saying. We're saying we can't prove from this braisa that it was necessarily saying that Esther would be doicha lois Esther sheyesh bekoris. We wanted to find a solid proof that Esther doicha lois Esther sheyesh bekoris, and therefore say, but over here, the pasuk tells us that Zeta Shava from the word Aleha, and therefore we don't do that. But we don't have such a solid proof anymore. Maybe the Braisa is talking on that basis. Maybe it's talking on the basis of a Kavah Chomer. So therefore, so if we say that it's talking on the basis of a Kavah Chomer, then who says that Esther would be Doicha Lois Esther Sheyesh Bekaris in the first place, such that we would even need a Zeta Shava to tell us otherwise? So the Gemara says, actually, now let's consider. Let's in fact go back to the original understanding that we had of the Braisa about executing somebody on Shabbos and figure out. So before we said we thought that it might be on the grounds of Esa Dochiloseseh, and again the Braisa had gone back and forth on the question before finally resolving it with the Pasuk. So let's figure out that. Let's figure out if we were to say that it is on the basis of Esa Dochiloseseh, what would have been the svaris in both directions? So Ulamai de Solika Daitin Ikra, the Osi Esa Dochiloseseh. If we go back to our original understanding of the Braisa, that it's a matter of Esa Doicha Lois Esa, even when there's Yesh Bekaris, my Oyeina de Karma, then let's figure out in more detail, so why would the Braisa have been going back and forth? What would have been the original Svara that it is? What would have been the Svara to say that it's not? What would have been the Svara again to say that it is, such that it finally needs to be resolved with the Pasuk? So like this, Hachi Karma, you would have said the Braisa, the flow of the Braisa goes like this. Mani makayim chalaleh mois yumos. When the pasuk says anybody who breaks Shabbos is put to death, would be b'shar malachas chutz mimisas Beis Din. Any other malacha other than mimisas Beis Din, avol mimisas Beis Din dochi Shabbos on the grounds the osi es of a docha loisese, not because of the kavah chomer, because now we're saying we're not talking according to kavah chomers. Now we're talking on the grounds that es a docha loisese. So the braisa originally would have thought that it works on those grounds. Hoder Omar, but then the Braisa would rethink itself and say, you know when we say that would work, that only works by a plain loisese. For example, earlier in the sugya, when you talk about kilayim betzitzis, for example, where the issue of kilayim is a lab, but it's not a lab that involves kares. Loisese sheyesh be kares mishamet le dochi. Where do you ever find that it should be doicha loisese sheyesh be kares? Hadar Omar, and then the Braisa rethinks itself. Listen, Otu Esther Dochi Lo, Otu, do you think that Esther Dochi Lois, Es Lois Esther, when you think of it, when in a regular case where an Esther overrides a Lois Esther, Lav Lois Esther Chomamine, after all, isn't the Lois Esther in a certain sense more stringent than the Assay? After all, the Lois Esther involves Malkus. Whereas violating an assay doesn't involve any punishment at all. Now, it's true, we talked about at the beginning of the Sugya, and Rabbi Akiva Eger over here in Gilead Ashas refers to the Ramban that we talked about there that says the reason why Esther Dolchaloisa said the logical reason to say that it is because Ava of Hashem, which is expressed through a mitzvah assay, is greater than Yira, which is expressed by not doing the Lois assay. And here, where Hashem himself is telling you to override the Lois assay, then it means that you're doing it out of Ava for Hashem, and therefore that's fine. But still, in terms of punishments, at least, a Lois assay is stronger than an assay. So after all, you would say the very fact that an essay is Docha Lois essay itself is a little bit of an oddity. How could something that's less stringent push away something that's more stringent? So Lav Lois Sasa Chomamine, don't you realize that the Lois essay anyway is more stringent than the essay because it involves a punishment? Because the essay the Dochile, and yet the essay overrides the Lois essay and even though it has harsher consequences, well then the logic would be Mali Chumra Zoto Mali Chumra Rava. Once we're doing that, then the Braisa could say, well, what's the difference whether it's a smaller Chumra or a bigger Chumra? What's the difference whether the Lav involves only Malkus or only Kores, or whether it involves Kores as well? So if we understand like that, then the Braisa would in fact be arguing that a Lav, that an Esther should be Doicha any kind of Lav, and therefore, Tamad Loima, Lois Sevaru, therefore the Pasuk is saying, Lois Sevaru Eish, to tell us that no, it's not Doicha that kind of Lav, at least in this case. So we could understand the Braisa that way. It would be a valid way of understanding the Braisa, but it's not definitive. Because on the other hand, we could say that the Braisa is basing itself on Rav Shimi bar Ashi's Kavu Chomer, as we said before. Tosfos Yeshanim asks, what do you mean? I mean, the whole time in the Sugya, we've been taking it as a given that there's a difference between a Lav sheyesh beikores and a Lav sheein beikores. All of a sudden, now we're saying that the Braisa might have said that there's no difference. What's the difference between a smaller Chumra and a bigger one? So Tosfos Yeshanim says, okay, listen, you know, in a discussion in the Gemara, after all, we're not really talking according to the Maskana, we're only talking, we introduced this, L'maida Solak Adaitin Meikara, this would have been our original understanding of the Braisa. We're not necessarily saying that that's a valid Svara, we're just saying we could have learned the Braisa conceivably that way. And then Tosfos Yeshanim goes into a longer arichos about it, that after all, the whole time we've been assuming that the Gzeira Shava from the word Aleha teaches us an Isser. We would have thought that, in other words, the whole premise that we're basing our entire Sugya on is that the Gzeira Shava from Aleha regarding Yibum is teaching us that when there are Arayas involved in Yibum, when there's one of the Chamesh Esrei Nashim of our Mishnah, then you don't do Yibum because of the Gzeira Shava Aleha. So in other words, the premise throughout the whole sugya has been that an esse maybe is doicha lois esse sheyesh beikaris, and therefore we need a gzeira shava to tell us otherwise. Now the Gemara is wondering, now at least we're saying the Braisa might have been understood to be saying the other way around. Maybe an esse is doicha lois esse sheyesh beikaris, maybe an esse is not doicha lois esse sheyesh beikaris, and the gzeira shava from Aleha would actually be coming to tell us that it's mutter. Or the other way around, sorry. Tosfos Yeshanim says, we would have said, maybe the Gzeira Shava tells us that it's mutter, and the Gzeira Shava would be telling us that you learn from that, a binyan av, to other cases of lois esher sheyesh beikaris. And the grounds for that would be that once we say that esher doicha lois esher, then maybe we would say it applies even to one that involves karis. And therefore, since we have the pasuk lo sevaru, then therefore we have an example where an eser is not doicha lo seser sheyesh bekaris. And therefore, if we're going to have one where it's saying it's osur and one that's saying it's mutter, then it's more logical to say that it is in fact osur, that we are going to distinguish between different chumras of lavim, and then we're going to say that it's more logical to say that in general it's mutter, and in both cases the Torah is telling us that it's osur, rather than saying that one is telling us it's osur in a certain case and one is telling us that it's mutter in a certain case. That Tosfos Shanim goes into a longer detail about that, but that's kind of the gist of it. Anyway, the bottom line is we don't really have a solid proof one way or the other to show that an esse zoicha loyse sheyesh bekaris. Maybe we could understand the braisa about lo sevaru in that way, but not necessarily, and especially based on what Tosfos Yeshanim is saying now. We have two different places where the Torah is telling us that not by Shabbos and by Yibum. Maybe we would say, in fact, that an essay is not doicha lo seser sheyesh bekaris ever. So therefore, so now at this point, the Gemara abandons this idea of trying to prove that an essay is doicha lo seser sheyesh bekaris. We're going to try to find, up until now, we've been trying to show a general concept that it should be doicha. Now we're going to say, fine, forget about that. You're right. We don't have a proof that in general that should work. But maybe there would have been a reason specifically by Yibum, a reason that applies specifically to Yibum, to say that it would be that you're supposed to do Yibum, and therefore you need the Zed or Shabbat to tell us not. So Ela Iftuch. So the reason why we're going to say, after all, that you need the Zed or Shabbat from Aleha is because you would have thought to have a high Eishes Och, this case, after all, when you're doing Yibum, it involves marrying your brother's wife, which normally is an Erva to you. And here the Torah is telling you it's mutter. So you could argue that it is davar shahoya b'chlal. It's something that was part of a general rule. There's a general rule that all the arayas are chayav kares. The yotzim in a klal lalamid. And then it's taken out of the klal to teach us something. This is one of the yud gimel midas, shatar nidreshes for him. That here we're saying that there's an exception when she has no children. He has no children, to be exact. Loy lalamed al atzma yotza. We would say, as one of the Yud Gimel Midas goes, that it doesn't teach only about itself. El lalamed al klal kula yotza. It teaches us about the entire klal. So we would say, in other words, that since the Torah is telling us here by Yibum that one type of erva is mutter, maybe it means that all the other ones, when it comes to Yibum, are also mutter. There is, by the way, an interesting point that the Rishonim bring up. This that we're saying that you do yibum with a brother's wife who otherwise would be an erva, is that an example of something that's dechuya or something that's hutra? If we say dechuya, then maybe in fact we would say that it applies only when there's that issue involved, not the other one. But if we say that hutra, and in fact, for example, the Yad Ramah and other Rishonim learn that it is in fact hutra, so then it could apply equally well, maybe, to other relatives as well, as long as there's Yibum involved, as long as there's the mitzvah of Yibum. One of the interesting proofs that it is Hutra rather than Dechoya, Tosfos talks about it earlier in the Perek, but one of the interesting proofs that it is Hutra rather than Dechoya, is the fact that, for example, later on in the second Perek we're going to talk about, when you get down to it, only the first bia between the Yavam and the Yavama is necessary for the mitzvah. After that, you're not accomplishing a mitzvah of Yibum anymore after that by future bias. If we said that the Issa was only Hutra, and that the Issa was only Dechuya and not Hutra, then why would that be allowed? The fact is she still was your brother's wife. For that matter, even if the Yavam divorces her, he's allowed to remarry her. So all of those show that there's reason to consider it Hutra. So now we're saying, therefore, that on that basis, we should say, not only is that one, but if there's any other erva involved as well, then it should be mutter along with that. The same way, the davar shahoya b'chlal, the yotzim in aklal lalamed, loy lalamed al atma yotzah, it's not teaching us just about itself, el lalamed al aklal kula yotzah, it's coming to teach us about the entire klal. Namely, that the rule would be when are arayas osur and when are they chayav kares, only when there's no mitzvah involved. But when there's a mitzvah of yibum involved, then all of them should be mutter, at least the first bia. So that would explain why we need a gzeira shavat to tell us otherwise. And where do we see an example of that rule of Dava Shahi Bachla V'yotzim Akhla V'lamed? Yitanya, we learn in a Braisa, Dava Shahi Bachla V'yotzim Akhla V'chol HaKetzad. How does that work? Now you have, you know, every morning we say in davening, the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, the Braisa actually there at the beginning of Sifra goes through and gives examples of how we apply each one of those Yud Gimel Middos. So here's the example for this one. So Ketzad, how does it work? What's an example? So like this, the pasuk says, "V'hanefesh ashetecha baser mizevach hashlomim." This week's parasha, it says, if a person eats meat from a shlomim, the tumasay olav, when he is tomei, then the pasuk says that he gets karis. Now, why does it mention it specifically by shlomim? V'ale shlomim v'chalal kodshim hayu. Shlomim is only one of the many types of kodshim. So why does it mention it specifically there? V'lama yotzu. Why is it singled out and it says only by a shlomim does a person get karis for eating it when he's tomei? And the reason is, in order to compare all the other korbanos to them. So therefore, it's Dava Shahayi B'chlal, it was part of a general category of korbanos. The Yotzim and Aklal Lamed, it's singled out from the category, and we say a specific thing that he's Chayim Kodesh. Loi L'lamed Al-Atzma Yotza, so it doesn't teach us only about itself. Ela L'lamed Al-Klal Kula Yotza, it teaches us about the entire Klal. V'loi Malach, so it tells you, Ma Shlomim Yuchadim, what is specific about Shlomim? Kodshim is there. They are kodshim, where parts of them are offered on the mizbeach, af kol kodshim mizbeach. Therefore, the same din applies that a person is chayav kodesh for eating them when he's tamei to any other kodshim mizbeach. Yotzu kodshim vedek abayis, and the point is, not kodshim vedek abayis. So you can have, for example, a person donated an animal, a balmum, let's say, because you can't do it with a tamim, a person donated an animal with a balmum to hechdish, and then he shechted it and ate it, so he'll be Oigran Me'ila. But if he's Tomei when he ate it, he won't be Chayiv Kares, because that's not Kodesh Mizbeach. So, Hochanami, so we could argue the same thing over here. Ha Eishes Och B'chlau Kol HaRayas Haisa, a brother's wife is part of the general category of Arayas, when the Torah lists all the Arayas, Eishes Och is one of them, and all of them, the Torah says at the end, you Chayiv Kares for. But so v'loma yotza. So why was it singled out with the mitzvah of yavama yavay aleha that the yavam has to marry the yavama and have relations with her? Is la hakish aleha. We would have thought that it's in order to make a hakish with it to compare it. V'loy malach ma'eshes ach sharia af kol arayis nami sharian. You would say just like she's mutter, even though she's an erva, so are all the other ones. So you would say that would be why we need the gzeira shava to tell us not like that. However, the Gemara says, me dummy, how are you even thinking to compare those two? Hasam klal be'isur prat be'isur, hacha klal be'isur prat be'heter. The difference is, when it comes to the shlomim, you have the general category is an isur, and the specific thing that's mentioned is also an isur. The pasuk is saying that a shlomim, a person eats it when he's tomei, he's chayiv kares. Well, the other korbanos also you're not allowed to eat when you're tomei. All this is the Torah doesn't mention kares by them, so the Torah is mentioning that particular detail when it comes to a shlomim. As opposed to hocha klal be'isur prat be'heter. Here it's the other way around. You're saying there's a general rule that the arayas are chayiv kares, are osur and chayiv kares. You want to say there's one particular one singled out that just the opposite. There's no isur and there's no chiyuv kares, but rather on the contrary it's a mitzvah. But that's it. It's the opposite kind of prat. It's saying that this particular one is mutter. You can't, the rule of Dava Shari V'chlal V'yatzim and Akhlal L'lamed doesn't work with such things. Just the opposite. Holei Dami Ella, what is this comparable to a different one of the Yud Gimel Middos? L'Dava Shari V'chlal V'yatzim L'idah and V'davar HaKadosh. When you have something that was part of a general rule, and then the Torah tells you something new about it, something that's completely new that you don't find by any of the other ones. Well, there it works the other way around. You can't put it back into the klal and say that it has the general rules of the klal. Unless the Torah explicitly tells you otherwise. So therefore, in other words, so just the opposite. This is an example. All the arayas are osur. The Torah is singling out that one of them is mutter by saying yavama yavay aleha, so just the opposite. It's not meant to learn from the other ones. It's not meant to learn from that to the other one. Just the opposite. We would say that one is excluded unless the Torah puts it back into the category. So therefore, again, you don't need a Zeta Shava to tell us that it should be osur where there are other types of arayas involved. because automatically there's no reason that we would learn from this. This one is davka meant to be a one-off. And what's an example of that, Tanya? Dava shahoy v'chlal v'yotza lidim b'dava chadash. So we say, i'atar ashoy l'achziru l'chlaloi. You're not able to return it back to the general category. Unless the Torah tells you explicitly to put it back in that general category. Ketad, what's an example of that? So like this. Yeah, when it comes to the korbanos of a metzora, so a metzora, when he's finished his, when he's finished his tanas, he brings a couple of korbanos. One of them is an oshem. And the pasuk says, the shachat as a keves, the whoever it is, because anybody can shech, so whoever it is, shech the sheep, you have to shecht it in the same place, on the north side of the Azara, where you would shecht the chatas of an Ola, in the holy place. They have to be shechted on the north side of the Azara. And the reason is, the pasuk continues, ki kachatas for Oshem hu lakoyin, because the Oshem is just like a chatas, both of them belong to the Koyin. In other words, the same din that applies to the chatas applies to this Oshem. So, now, the Pasuk didn't need to tell us that, because it's not just the fact that the Pasuk is telling us you have to shecht it in the north. Fine, you need to be told that this particular Asham is Kodshe Kodshe, just like other Ashamas. But the question is, once we already said that you have to shecht it in the same place where you shecht the Chatas and the Ola, namely in the north, why does the Pasuk have to continue with the comparison to the Chatas? We already understand that in that sense, it's like a chatas, that you have to shecht it on the north. And if you're going to say that it's comparing it as far as that the blood has to be placed on the mizbeach and that only the kohenim can eat it, well, we already know that that's the rule with hashamas. So what exactly is the Torah adding with this comparison to the chatas? So umatam alevak chatas ha'osham, what is the Torah adding with that comparison? So lefisha yotza asham metzorda lidin b'davar ha'chadash. Because the Asham Metzora, the Torah is telling us something unique about it that does not apply to any other Asham. The Torah is making an exception to the general rule when it comes to an Asham. Now, Tosfos explains, when we talk about Dabar Chodesh, like we were saying before, when we talk about Issur versus Heter, it has to be something that contradicts the general cloud. Namely, there is the fact that this Asham requires Nesachim. Usually an Oshem doesn't require an Nesachim. Usually only an Ola and a Shlomim and a Toida require an Nesachim. An Oshem does not. Here the Asham Metzora requires an Nesachim. Fine, but that doesn't contradict the rules of a general Oshem. That sort of adds to them. But here when we have that instead the Kohen catches the blood in his hand, catches the blood of the Oshem in his hand and applies it to the Metzora's ear and thumb and toe, that is something that contradicts other Ashamas. Other Ashamas, usually, you catch all the blood in the Mizrach and put as much as possible of it on the Mizbeach. And here, instead, we're being told to take some of it and put it on the Metzora. So that's something that contradicts what you find by other Ashamas, and that is Yotza Lidim B'Davar Chodesh. So the Fisha Yotza Asham Metzora Lidim B'Davar Chodesh, because an Asham Metzora is singled out, and something special, something new, something unique is said by it, which contradicts what happened by other Ashamas, the Boyan Yad or Boyan Regula Yamonis, namely that you put the blood on the Metzora's right thumb and right big toe, and also his ear, but it's not mentioning that to keep things simple. We know from the Pasuk that you also put it on his ear. Anyway, based on that, you would think that maybe it's further not like a regular Asham, in that you don't put the blood on the Mizbeach and you don't offer the Emurim on the Mizbeach. That is why, Talmud Lomar, Kika Chatas, so Asham Hu, that is why the Pasuk has to tell us that this Asham is just like a Chatas. Ma Chatas, Tonim Matan Domim, the Emurim, Lagabi Mizbeach, just like a Chatas requires those things. Af Oshem Toan Matan Dam Memurim Lagam Mizbeach. The same way this Oshem requires as well. So this is an example of Dabar Shehoyah B'Chlal. The Oshem was part of the general category of other Ashamos and of other Kodshim in general. The Yotza Lidim B'Davar Chodesh. The Torah said a specific new rule by it, namely that you put the blood on the Mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe, which you don't find by any other korban. So now you would have thought, you can't put it back in the general category and say that it should require the blood to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach and the Emunim to be put on the Mizbeach, until the Pasuk tells you explicitly, which in this case it does, by saying, So that if the Pasuk had not put it back in, if you didn't have the phrase Ki kachatasa oshamu, then havamina, then you would have thought Lamai de nafak nafak, regarding what the Torah singles out, namely that the Torah tells us that you have to put it on the Mitzora's ear, thumb, and toe, and that you have to shecht it in the north, which also the Torah says explicitly, nafak, then for that, for those, it's part, it's for those, it's mentioned specifically, and those you have to do. But whatever was not singled out is not. You would say that since the Torah doesn't say that you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, then therefore you wouldn't. And since you don't have, since it doesn't say that you put the Emurim on the Mizbeach, then you wouldn't. So therefore, and therefore the Pasuk had to tell us by saying the words, Ki kachata sa osham hu, that it's not so. You do those things. Hachinami. So, in other words, by that logic, the same way, we would say that the Eishas Och, fine, the Torah is telling you that an Eishas Och, there's an exception and you do Yibum. But why would we think that we would learn from that to all the other Arayas, such that we would need a Gzeder Shavah to tell us otherwise? Hachinami. So that's exactly what we'd say. Havamin, an Eishas Och, the Ishtara Ishtaroi, an Eishas Och, where the Torah is saying that it's Mutter on the basis of that it says that you need to do Yibum. So that's Mutter. Shara Arayas Loi, but you wouldn't have any basis to say that it would apply to the other Arayas. Again, we're not using the rule of Dava Shtari Bechlav Yotzman Akhlav Olamid, because that can't work over here, because that only works when the Yotzman Akhlav Olamid doesn't contradict the other one. Here it does contradict the other one. So therefore, Dava Shtari Bechlav Yotzman Lidin Dava Chodosh. And therefore, there's no basis for saying that it should apply equally to the other Arayas. After all, the Torah never tells us that it does. So Fakir, we have no reason to say that it should apply to the other Arayas and then need a Gzeder Shava to tell us that it doesn't. So we're back to, why do we need the Gzeder Shava? Rather, we're going to try a different tack. Sakrat Hamina tasty b'mamatzinu me'eshes och. You would think, fine, we can't use Dava Shahi b'chlav, Yotzman Akhlav Alamed, but maybe we can make a simple mamatzinu. Maybe we can make a simple binyanav from eshes och. Ma eshes och miyab.
What's the mamatzinu in the Yud Gimel midas?
We call it over the binyan av. Binyan av mikos of echo, the binyan av mishnei ksuvim. Mamatzinu is basically another name. Yeah. So we would say then we use a binyan av. The mamatzinu ma eshes och. Ma eshes och miyabma. Just like a brother's wife gets yibum. The same way, at least when it comes to a wife's sister, you would say also, even though she's an erva, you would say that she gets yibum. So therefore, maybe we need the Gzeder Shavah to tell us otherwise. In that case, if we were to say that, then why didn't we just say before that Dava Shari B'chlav Yotzei Lidin B'Dava Chodesh? Why all of a sudden is the Gemara thinking now that we should be able to learn it by a binyan av? And there's a lot of discussion and a lot of tzorach iyun about this among the Rishonim. But anyway, let's say that maybe it would be that way. So maybe for that reason we need the Gzeder Shavah to tell us otherwise. But the Gemara says, anyway, you can't think that way. Me dummy, how could you compare it? Hosam chavi sura hachatre isuri. After all, by a brother's wife, you're only overriding one isur. A brother's wife is an error. So now you're saying instead there's a mitzvah to do yibum. But over here, you would have two Isurim. She's your brother's wife, and she's your wife's sister, and you'd be saying that you do Yibum. You can't necessarily say just because, even a Binyan Av, you can't say is going to go so far as to be Matur two Isurim instead of one. So the Gemara says, so what? Ma'ud Tema, hoy over Ishturi Ishturi. Still, you could argue that maybe once you're being Matur, maybe you're being Matur more than one Isurim. Where do you get such a svara from that you should say that once the Torah is being matir one isur in order to do something, it's matir a second isur? So we can figure out the Tanya. We learn in a Braisa here's a case where we're being matter two isurim in order to do a mitzvah. Mitzora shachal shmini shaloi liya be'erva pesach. Suppose that a Mitzora's eighth day, which is the day that he's supposed to bring his karbonus, and the day that they apply the blood to his ear, thumb, and toe, and that's what makes him, up until that point, the Mitzora is a mechusar kapara. His tumor is gradually going away. He doesn't have the severe tumor of the Mitzora anymore. He doesn't have, eventually he toivol, and now he's only a tzvul yoim. Eventually the nighttime comes, and now he's not even a tzvul yoim. But he still has to bring his karbonus, and until he does, he's mechusar kapara, and he's not able to eat kodshim. So now, suppose that his eighth day comes out on Erev Pesach, and if we don't deal with his karbonus today, then he's not going to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. So, the twist is, v'roch keri boivayon. On that same day, before he had a chance to bring his karbonus, he became a bal keri. V'tavol, and now he tovled. So now he's a tovul yon because of that. Now, Rashi explains that we mentioned specifically where he became a bal keri, because if he was only tomei with a sheretz, then he would actually be able to come into the Harabayas, then there would be no problem with that. A Balkeri usually is supposed to stay out of both Machnas. A Balkeri is not allowed on the Harabayas at all, and here we're going to say that we make an exception for him. Tosfos discusses that, and says that doesn't really fit with the continuation of the Gemara, so rather Tosfos says, no, we're talking about, it's true, the same din would apply if he became Tomei by a Sheretz. But the point is, we're going to say soon that we're allowing an Isur Dirabbanan, and we're allowing in this case an Isur Dirabbanan, and the point is, even though Balkeri has to stay out of both Machnas, in this particular case, the Chachamim are allowing him to come in all the way in, or all the way into the Azara. So in other words, according to Rashi, we're talking specifically where he was Tomei with Keri. If there was Sheretz, there'd be no Chiddush, and according to Tosfos, it applies equally well to both of them. Anyway, suppose now that he became a Bal Keri on that day. The Tovol. So now he Tovol. So he's a Tvul Yoim. Now, normally a Tvul Yoim is not allowed into the Azara. Therefore, if this happened any other day of the year, then we would tell him, come back tomorrow when you're not a Tvul Yoim anymore, and then you'll stand out with Mitzora. When the Mitzora's Korbanos are being brought, he stands in Shaar Nikanor, and he sticks out his ear, he sticks his ear into the Azara, and they place the blood on that, and he sticks his thumb into the Azara, and they place the blood on that, and so forth. Now that's called Bia B'miktas. That's called coming in to the Azara with only part of his body, but that's considered coming in. So a Tvul Yoim is normally not allowed to do that. So Amru Chachamim, so Afa Pisha in Tvul Yoim Acher Nichnas, even though in general a Tvul Yoim is not even allowed to go into the Harabayis, Zeh Nichnas, in this particular case of the Mitzoto who has to bring his Karbanas, but he was also the same day a Balkeri, and he became, and he was a Tvul Yoim, we will tell him to come and do that. Zen Nichnas, this one can come in, and he can come into the Harabayis, and he can stick his ear and thumb and toe in to have the blood applied to them so that he can bring his Korbanos, and that way he'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Tosfos explains, by the way, that the Shaar Nikanor itself does not have the full Kedusha of the Azara, and that way the Mitzora is able to stand while he's, at this point, before he's finished bringing the Korbanos, he's allowed to stand in the thickness of that doorway, and the point is, Tosfos says, Rabbi Natan says, that way, for example, bad weather, he's able to stand there and be protected from the rain, and then he sticks his ear, thumb, and toe in beyond the gate into the Azara itself. Anyway, so he does that. Now, what's the logic? Usually a Tvul Yoim is not even allowed into the Ezras Nashim, let alone into Shaar Nikanor. So Amru Chachamim, Afa Pishein Tvul Yoim Acha Nichnas Zen Nichnas. The logic is Mutav Shiyove Ese Shiyash Be Kares, better than an Ese that involves Kares, namely to not bring a Korban Pesach would make him Chayev Kares. The Yidcha Ese Shein Be Kares, it will override the Ese that does not involve Kares. Namely, there is an Ese that certain Tmeim have to leave the Machna, the Yishalchum in a Machna, but there's no Kores for that. The only Kores is for coming into the Azara. Here he's not really going into the Azara. He's only going into the gate and he's only going into the gate and standing over there. So the Esther of Pesach will override the Esther of the Shalchu Min HaMachna. And the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan clarifies, when we're talking about an Esther, it's not really Dvar Torah through the Esther last day. Really, Minat Torah, there's not even an Esther involved in him coming into the Ezras Nashim, as a Tvul Yom, Midrabanan, he's not allowed to go into the Ezras Nashim, but Midaraisa he would have been able to be. And that's what Tosfa says, that when we said that he was a Baal Keri, that here, even though he was a Baal Keri and has to stay out of the Harabayas, but here, once he toveled, then we're allowing him to go all the way to Shaar Nifanot. So the whole concept, Rabbi Yochanan says, and Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing with the Braisa. He's an Amora. He can't argue with the Braisa, but he's clarifying that when the Braisa had said that the Esther sheyesh beikaris, the Esther sheein beikaris, referring to the Esther of the Yishalchom and Amachna, it doesn't mean a real Esther. It really means something drabbanon. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Dvar Torah to the Esther Lespe, really Minat Torah, there's not even an Isser Mitzvah Saseh for a Tvul Yoim to go into the Ezras Nashim. Shenemar, as you find the Pasuk describes in Divrei Yomim where there's a whole coalition of nations, Ammonim and Mayovim and Amalekim and so forth that came and invaded Eretz Yisrael. Capital Pei Gimel of Tillim, by the way, is talking about that invasion and then asking Hashem to help us against them. Anyway, so the Pasuk describes how Yehoshaphat, who was the king of Yehuda, and all of his subjects gathered in the Beis Mikdash to daven, the entire kingdom of Yehuda And the Pasuk says, Vayamad Yehoshaphat the Kal Yehuda, Yehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Yehuda, Lifnei HaChotzer HaChadosha, in front of the new Chotzer, and my Chotzer HaChadosha, what is the new Chotzer? Omer of Yechanan, or Rebbe, it says on the side, Shechid Shubadvarim, it means we're referring to the Ezras Nashim, where they made something new about it. So before that, Rashi explains that the people had been Tomei, and they became Tahar, and now they're standing over there in the Chotzer HaKadosha, but Omru, so they said, Tvul Yom lo yikonis l'machna leviyah, that a Tvul Yom is not allowed to go anywhere into Machna leviyah, into actually the Harabayis. So that was the new thing. So therefore, they're standing lifnei HaChotzer HaKadosha. They're standing in front of it rather than in it, because on that day, they made a new takana, the Sanhedrin of that time, made a new takana that from now on, Tzvul Yom is not allowed in the Harabayis. I once saw an explanation, actually. Why did they find it? Why did they decide at that point that it's appropriate to make this takana dafka then? The reason is because what's going on? The goyim are invading Eretz Yisrael where they don't belong. In fact, in the psukim over there, Yehoshaphat goes on to Davin and he says, Hashem, you gave this land to us. You didn't give it to Moab or Ammon or Seir or any of these other nations. So what do they think they're doing? Coming and trying to take over our land and kick us out of it. So therefore, at that point, the Sanhedrin decided, you know what? By the same token, we have to make a takana that until now, there were people who maybe shouldn't have been in this area. They were allowed to in our Torah, fine. But now we're going to make a rule. Now we're going to make an extra rule, a siyag for the Torah, that they shouldn't come into a place that has the Kedusha of the Harabayis, as long as they still have the degree of Tumah of a Tzvul Yom. Anyway, so V'Oma Ula, so Ula explains in that connection, given that we said before, Bia B'miktas Shema Bia, that coming even partially into the Azara is considered coming in. So fine, then. In that case, so fine. Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that for the Mitzvah to go all the way up to and including Shaar Nikanor is not a problem D'Oraisa. It would only be a problem D'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan are saying, let's relax that rule in order to allow him to come and bring his Korbanos and eat Korban Pesach. But what about, doesn't he need to stick in his ear and his thumb and his toe? And that would be considered coming into the Azara. And how can he do that when he's a Tvul Yom? And the answer is, V'Oma Ola, Ma Tam, why are we allowing it? Hoyo V'Huta L'Tzarate, Huta L'Kiruyo. Because once we're allowing it for his Tzaras, even though, in other words, usually a Mitzvah, usually a Mechusa Kippurim, is also not allowed to come into the Azara. But in this case, the Torah is telling us that even as a Mitzvah who's bringing his Korbanos now, he's allowed to stick in his ear, thumb, and toe, because that's how it works. Without that, he's never going to become Tahar. Well, therefore, we're also going to allow, the Torah implicitly is also going to allow it, in this case, also, where he's a Baal Keri and a Tovel for that. So in other words, the Chachamim are going to relax their rule and allow him to come into the Harabayis and into the Ezras Nashim. then the Torah is going to relax its rule and say that even though usually a mechusik kippurim is not allowed into the azorah even partially, but it's always allowed with a mitzorah, and here it's also allowed even though it's also a tzvul yom from keri. So you see that there's an example where you have two isurim, and once one of them is mutter, then the other one of them is mutter. So therefore, by the same logic, we could have said that once Eishes Och is mutter, the same way Achois Ishtoi, the fact that she's also his wife's sister, should maybe also be mutter. And therefore, so you would say, therefore, that it should have been mutter, and therefore you need a Zeta Shrava to tell us otherwise. But the Gemara says, Mi Domi L'Ula, how can you compare the case of Ula involving the Mitzorah, who hasn't yet brought his Korbanos, and now with Balkeri and became a Tzvul Yoyim from that? How do you compare that to the case of Yibum with his wife's sister? Let's consider, there's two possible scenarios how she could be also as his wife's sister, depending on the order in which the different brothers got married. If you look in Mari Yavamis that I sent on the WhatsApp group the other day, you look at diagram 31, you have the two possibilities, depending which one got married first. Tenach hecha denosa metzva achachach nosachai, if the order was that first the brother who ended up passing away first got married, and then his brother got married, well then, we can say, let's look at the logic. When Reuven married Rachel, at that point she became also to Shimon as his brother's wife. Now, later on, Shimon married Leah. So we can say, therefore, that and Leah is Rachel's sister. So fine, we can say that once the first Isser was mutter, once the fact that she was his brother's wife becomes mutter, and he can do Yibum with her, then we can say that fine, the second Isser also falls away, because the second Isser is not really adding anything to the first Isser. She was already also to him as his brother's wife. So Tena Hecha de Nosam Mesva Hakach Nosachai, that would work out well if the dead brother Reuven first married Rachel, and later on Shimon married her sister Leah, then we would say the Migur de Ishtri, Isur, Eishes Och. Once we're saying that the Isur of his brother's wife goes away because of Yibum, Ishtri Nami Isur Achois Isha, then together with it, the Isur of his wife's sister also goes away because that Isur didn't add anything to the previous one. Both of them are an Isur Kores, and there's no addition to one over the other. Ela Nosa Chai Vachakach Nosa Mes. But let's look at the second half. It's actually two diagrams, 30 and 31. So diagram 30 shows the first scenario. 31 shows the second. If it was the other way around, Nosa Chai Vachakach Nosa Mes, if first Shimon married Leah, and at that point Rachel became also to him as his wife's sister, and that Isser still remains afterwards as well, Vachakach Nosa Mes, and then afterwards Reuben married Rachel, so then Isser Achois Isha Kodim. Doesn't the Isser of his wife's sister comes first? How can the Isser on Rachel, who was also to him to begin with as his wife's sister, how can that be taken away by the fact that a second Isser, which came later, the Isser of his brother's wife, that becomes mutter? How can that have an effect on the Isser that existed beforehand where she was already his wife's sister? And Ba'afilu Nosa Mes Nami. In fact, let's continue that logic. Even if the dead brother married first, even if we go back to diagram 30 where Reuben married Rachel first, Tena Hecha de Nosa Mes Umes Vachakach Nosa Chai. Okay, you could say if Reuben married Rachel, and then he died, and then Shimon, and only after Reuben died, then Shimon married Leah, then you could argue, okay, there was a point when Rachel was mutter to Shimon. There was a point when Rachel was married to Shimon, because she wasn't yet his wife's sister. So in between, before he marries Leah, then you could say she's only his wife's brother, and therefore she's only his brother's wife there, rather, and that is taken away by Yibum. Ella Nosa Mes Veloy Mes. What if Reuben married Rachel? He didn't die yet. Ba'achakach Nosa Chai. Then Shimon married Leah. Loi Ichaz Yalei Klal. Then Rachel was never suitable to marry Shimon because to begin with, when Nofla LeYibum, when the Chiyuv of Yibum takes effect, when the Zika comes into play, namely when Reuben dies, she's already also to him as his wife's sister. So then that's not the kind of thing that we would say that a second issur is taken away by a first. Mi loy moidi ula. After all, wouldn't Ula himself agree in the scenario we said before about the Metzorda and the Baal Keri? Shim ra keri b'leil shmi. Suppose that he had his emission of Keri, this Metzorda, on the night before the eighth day. Mela, if he had it on the eighth day, then already he could have conceivably brought his Korbanos before that. But if he has the Keri on the night going into the eighth day, then it wasn't even a time yet when he could have brought his Korbanos. She'en machnas yadav b'bahinus. Then Ula would agree that he cannot come to Shaar Nikanor and stick in his ear and his thumb and his toe to get the blood placed on it. Shalai yatsa b'shaar shiru yalahavi b'korban. Because he never went to a time when it was roi for him to bring a korban. So when would Ula say, if the Metzorah, he wakes up on the morning of the 8th, and at this point he's not a Tzur Yom anymore, he already had head of Shemesh, and he's all ready to bring his Korbanos, and all of a sudden he becomes a Baal Keri, fine, you could say that Issur of Baal Keri is a more lenient one because he was already able to bring his Korbanos, and now all of a sudden this happened, so fine, we'll allow him to Tovel, and even though he's a Tzur Yom, we'll allow him to be over on the Issur Drabanon, and even to a certain extent on the Esser Daraisa, and come in all the way to Shaar Nikanor and do what he needs to do in order to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. But not when that happened the night going into the eighth day, when he wasn't even at a time when he could have brought his Korbanos yet. Well, the parallel to that would be where Reuven's wife, where Rachel, was always Osir to Shimon, where there was never a moment when she would have been Mutzer to Shimon. Well then, even Ula should agree in that case that it doesn't work. So we're back to, why do we need a Gzeda Shava to tell us that it doesn't work? If there's no particular reason that we should. Yes, we can say that when we're matir one issue, we're matir a second one, but only if there was a moment over there where the second issue didn't apply.
And there was none
in this case, right? So why would we need a pasuk to tell us that? So why would we need a pasuk to tell us that he should be also to do yibum with her? Ella, so you're right. Ki itzruchalaya hecha de nasa mesu mesva hakuf nasakai. Fine, we can say that we need the Gzeda Shava to teach us exactly that case. Suppose that Reuven married Rachel, then he died, then Shimon married Leah. So now there was in fact a moment over there when Rachel was mutter to him, and now we need the pasuk to say that nevertheless, now that she's also his wife's sister, then therefore he's also to do yibum with her. Exactly that case where there was a moment of heter, then we need to be told that not. Now, we're going to learn, by the way, later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about, there's an issur called achos zukukosai, that when there's a zika, in this case over here, as soon as Reuven dies, there's created a zika, a connection between Rachel and Shimon, namely that Shimon has to do either yibum or chalitza with Rachel. We're going to learn later on that there is something called Achos Zekukosai. He's not allowed to marry her sister. However, at least at this point, we're assuming that that issue is only Dirabbanan, and we're talking over here on a Daraisa level. So Daraisa, Shimon would have been allowed to marry Leah. The fact that he has a Zika with Rachel wouldn't necessarily prevent that. And therefore, so that would be the case. So now the Torah is telling us, fine, Shimon, had you not married Leah, then you would have a mitzvah of Yibum with Rachel. But because now you went and married Leah, and you did that only after Reuven died, when the Zika already existed, but there was a time when Rachel was mutter to you as a Yibama, so now, nevertheless, the Torah needs to tell you with the Gzeda Shava of the word Aleha that you're still also true because the fact is right now she is your wife's sister. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll continue another reason to say that we need the Gzeda Shava. Another reason why we might have thought that the other Arayas would have been mutter were it not for the Gzeda Shava.
Shikaya.
Yeah.
Yeah.